Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Hungary is sliding back, according to CBN News, back to the Nazi era of anti-Semitism, which means hatred towards Israel and the Jews just because they're Jews. I want you to hear this from CBN News, and we got to talk about this. I want you to hear this to understand. And one of the key things I want you to hear about, what was the epicenter of creating this situation? And you'll hear it. You'll listen for it. Is when they did not have jobs and they didn't have money. They saw somebody else working those jobs. When it comes down to money, that reveals a man's heart. But I want you to listen up. You're listening to CBN News on Hungary sliding back into the Nazi era.
A memorial to the Jews of Budapest who were rounded up during World War II and told to take off their shoes before being shot and pushed into the Danube. Hungary's Jews are fearful again because of a return of anti-Semitism. Hungary has been going backwards economically for years. Old scapegoats have come back to life in a nation that feels like it was flattened by globalization. Foreigners, bankers, and Jews. This is the kind of political ad that taps straight into the Hungarian psyche.
Bankoknak minden szabad.
Míg dolgozunk, ezek csak lopnak. A politikus bűnözők meg minden szabad.
Már félek kimenni az utcára. A cigány bűnözőknek minden szabad?
Nincs magyar áru a polcon. A mótiknak minden szabad.
It's an ad for Jobbik, now the third largest party in Hungary, and some say a possible long shot to rule Hungary in a coalition government someday. Far-right racist parties are fairly common in Eastern Europe, but Jobbik is different. Stronger, better organized, and offering solutions to real problems that Hungarians face. Even if they're the wrong solutions and the boogeyman is an American-Israeli conspiracy.
You know, there is a joke in Hungary that somebody comes to a village and he says, is there anti-Semitism here? So they say, no, there isn't, but there's a great need for it. So,
Budapest Rabbi Shlomo Kovesz says Jews can now feel the anti-Semitism in the streets, although physical attacks on Jews are rare.
I mean, a society is not in a good state when people relatively have a hard time making a living. All these extreme ideas can come back.
A Jobbik member of parliament has called for a list to be drawn up of all the Jews in government because he deems them a security threat.
They consider the entire Jewish community as the agents of America and Israel. They say that through the Hungarian Jewish community, Israel and America are turning Hungary into a colony.
Hungarian parliament member Pál Steiner lost half of his relatives in the Holocaust, and now, 70 years later, he receives death threats. But anti-Semitism hasn't returned to Hungary, he says, because it never left.
It's clear that Jobbik's basic principles are very similar to the Nazis, especially considering the so-called Jewish problem. And I need to stress that there is a part of the Hungarian society that has a secret sympathy for Jobbik.
Hungary's World War II leader Miklos Horthy, when Hungary was a Nazi ally. Last month, Horthy returned to a place of honor in Budapest when his bust was unveiled at a church. Opponents demonstrated by wearing yellow stars. It's now become very dangerous for Hungary's gypsies, who are more likely to commit crimes and are hated more than Jews. Jobbik started a militia, the Magyar Garda, but it was outlawed. Jobbik claims it was a service organization, but it looked like Arrowcross, a Nazi-era party that killed thousands of Jews. It's an open question as to whether Hungarian society is getting healthier or getting sicker.
Sadly, I have to say sicker because of growing intolerance, because of growing poverty.
We asked one of Hungary's leading political consultants, Viktor Szigetvári, if Jobbik could end up in a governing coalition someday, as some predict, or if they're too radioactive for other parties.
They are radioactive, but it is possible that we might have a minority government created after the 2014 general elections. And in this context, it will be interesting what role Jobbik will play. I believe that it is a no-go area not in Hungary, not in Europe.
Jobbik turned down our request for an interview, telling us, "We do not want to help you on the issue of anti-Semitism. Jobbik is dealing with much more important problems right now. The sellout of soil to foreigners and to oligarchs close to the government, the corruption scandals, the chaos in education, and the catastrophic state of public safety." Jobbik repeatedly denies that it is anti-Semitic. On its English language website, it seems to disavow some of the very positions its leaders have spouted publicly. Jobbik says it does not deny the Holocaust, but it also does not like Israel. We interviewed one former Jobbik member from a rural area who said he never heard talk of anti-Semitism at Jobbik meetings he attended. But we also interviewed a former Jobbik leader who had to leave the party when he discovered that he was a Jew.
The problem is that there are clever people in Jobbik. It's a two-faced party, what they say among themselves and what they say in front of the public. The other problem is that they are inciting hatred. They're poisoning the population in Hungary.
Steiner and others told us Jobbik should be considered very dangerous. And even if they never rule Hungary, critics say they're a legally elected party spreading dangerous ideas. But Jobbik seems to be only a symptom in a nation that is still clinging to old-fashioned anti-Semitism. Dale Hurd, CBN News, Budapest.
Amazing.
Amazing.
And you can, but this is the thing you have to understand, that outside, this is why you need Jesus, man. Ma'am, this is why you need Jesus. Because the sin nature of human beings in general. And you just, when everything's going good, you just don't know who you are. And what happens is you have tyrants rise up, and they have silent tyrants support them. Because you're wondering, how could this tyrant be getting any footage? How can they be getting any place in the legislature? And you find out, it's like, even though they're saying they're not supporting the tyrant, silently they're tyrants inside, because they're saying, if this tyrant doesn't get in, I lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, that's Budapest. That's Well, no, actually, it's Greece. The same spirit's rising up in Greece. Because the economy's on the edge of crashing. All of a sudden, they're starting to see, you know, they're saying, you know, somebody tells you, hey, you can't get your welfare anymore. You can't get your subsidy anymore. You can't get your Medicare anymore. You can't get your Medicaid anymore. And then you look over at somebody who came to your country, and you were born in your country, and you, as a believer, have a choice to trust God and be your heart be revealed to you, that you've been trusting in your government and not God, and repent and say, dear God, I'm so sorry. I'm glad this person is taken care of. Or you can join with this tyranny type mindset, and whether publicly or privately, and say, without saying anything, because silence in the midst of this stuff is worse than people that are talking out loud, because agreement, saying nothing is agreement. People begin to focus on the folks that are getting what you're not getting. And they begin to target on the folks that are being successful. And they are. And you say, well, that's over there. No, it's actually happened after the Civil War in America. When the slaves were freed in America. I mean, think about it. This is how evil human nature is outside of Jesus Christ. And enslaved people that have been enslaved in America for 250 years, America fought for the right for all of us to live up to the Constitution, which came a little bit later, and said, all men are created equal under God. All men are created equal under God. And that no matter what our race is, we're all Americans, and we all have a right to be able to live our life. Mm-hmm. We have a chance for success. And so, of course, the Emancipation Proclamation, the Civil War came through, and President Abraham Lincoln that we talk about. And so all of a sudden, you know, the slaved brothers and sisters, I mean, God has just really poured history into my heart this year that I can almost barely talk about our history. It's just, I think he's, I mean, we've prayed about him letting us feel his heart. It's like,
oh my goodness.
I don't know. It's painful. And so all of a sudden he says, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give the folks who built our nation, a large portion of our economy, we're going to give them 40 acres and a mule. 40 acres and a mule. We're going to give them 40 acres and a mule. Mm-hmm. So you have an enslaved person who had no money, who was owned and sold, and his and her family separated, and they don't even know. You look at a lot of our brothers today, you think, why are you making such a big deal about family reunions? Because we had to find our family and find out who we were, and we want to maintain heritage like anybody else would. And all of a sudden, of course, since they are the ones that were actually growing the cotton, they were the ones building, they were the ones that had the wisdom and the knowledge of how things were operating, and these other folks who owned them just benefited from their labor. Within 10 years, they began to do really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Pope came all the way to one particular black American freed slave just to his place to be able to get his cotton, because he had the best cotton on the face of the earth because it was his. He got his own land. He's got his 40 acres and a mule. And so at only 10 years, John Paul, 10 years, the very same thing you're seeing in Budapest, the same thing you're seeing in Greece, after all that obvious oppression in our face, Americans, potentially even the ones that fought for their freedom, because just because they said this is wrong didn't mean when they got into the northern troops that they actually were treated respectfully. They said, oh my goodness, they're taking our jobs. People are buying cotton from them instead of cotton from me. People are doing, and in 10 years they cut off 40 acres and a mule. They cut off 10 years trying to make up for 250 years of slavery. And it's like, and understand, for 250 years you had an enslaved people on America's soil, and we, of course, in that, America became a nation over a period of time, United States of America, but it's still carried in, and one nation under God, and all the things that we talk about. But then it wasn't until, you know, Abraham Lincoln and that fight after the second Great Awakening that all of a sudden the Civil War broke loose, and then the slaves were freed, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, but realize that the America that freed the slaves couldn't handle what Budapest can't handle today. They couldn't stand to see a man blessed.
Right.
And I see that all the time. I see it today in the church. People who call themselves believers, like, you're so happy because you got money. You're happy because you got a job, but you didn't even talk to the lady, you know, sitting next to you for the last 10 years that needed help. That needed somebody to help her. You learn how to read, to learn how to get a job, how to be empowered. It was about your success, but all of a sudden, because that's how you think, if God shifts that and all of a sudden now she's the woman of influence and she's the person who's making money, can you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, this is how we respond. We want you to do good.
That's all right.
We want everybody blessed. And if you're blessed, I'm thanking God for that. I'm thanking God that you're prosperous. As a matter of fact, I bless you with prosperity and increase. And I encourage you and teach you how to keep that by honoring God with that. And I turn to God for my provision.
That's right.
And this is what happens when you turn to government and you turn to your little schemes and bail, basically, then these kind of things start happening. It's anti whoever's got your jobs. It's anti whoever's being successful. Mm-hmm. And the Jews were very successful in Hitler's day. They were very blessed. And I was listening to a particular Japanese. It could be European or Japanese. I can't remember. It was European. And they said, the Jews were a blessing to us. They brought us jobs.
Mm.
They blessed our people. They challenged us. They reminded us of God. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. And we burned them. And because of our political desire to be seen as fair, we've embraced Islam.
Wow.
And now we have 20% of our population is Islamic. They're not working. They're looking for ways to die and to kill others, and they're plotting inside of apartments that we're actually paying for them to kill our own folks.
Wow.
We the ones who blessed us, we burned. And because of political wanting to look like you're some...
Politically correct.
Politically correct. You've taken down... You burned the Jews who were a blessing.
Wow.
And we're going to make that available to you. We're going to hopefully bring that segment so you can actually hear firsthand. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And listen, if you want to be blessed, and that's why we stand for God and country in that order, and Israel.
With no apologies.
With no apologies. So make sure you join our sponsors and partners and partner with us today. Go to VFNTV.com because, listen, it comes down to this. Who is your God? Is government your God? Is government your God? Is your king your God? Is your government your God? Or is God your God? You'll know when someone else has that job and how you respond to them. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.